listening to the Northside Christian Church Sermon Podcast. These teachings are recorded at our weekly Sunday morning gatherings in Springfield, Missouri. For more about our church, service times, and how to connect, visit northsidechristianchurch.net.
Okay, I got a question for you. I could use a response right now. How many of you, I'd like to hear you, how many of you love Christmas music, Christmas songs? Let me hear you right now. Yes, my kind of people right there. I love Christmas music. I love singing Christmas music. It resonates in my soul. So I love it and enjoy it. And I just got to tell you, whether you like it or not, you're going to hear it. So those of you who weren't cheering, you know, I know it's going to happen. And one of those songs that you're going to hear, because everybody's playing Christmas music right now, was one that was written by Mark Lowry in 1991. It has now been performed by CeeLo Green, Clay Aiken, Jordan Smith, Carrie Underwood, Pentatonix. I mean, it goes on. The people have sung this song. And this song, it goes like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Right? You're recognizing it? Mary, did you know? The whole song, it's just a series of questions. In fact, I'll read you the lyrics. Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? It goes on. That your baby boy will give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? And then he gets to that bridge, which I love, that says, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb it builds. And then he goes, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? You know, so it's just this incredible crescendo. Love it. So I like the song. I love the song. I enjoy the song. I find it very meaningful. Well, you should know that song has been met with some criticism. I know, you guys, it's just shocking. It's been met with criticism. Like, for example, Ed Stetzer. He's an author, speaker, researcher, pastor, church planter. He tweeted three words, and we all knew what he was talking about. Yes, Mary knew. Bah humbug, Ed Stetzer. Relevant Magazine. This could have been an email. The singer spends 4 minutes asking Mary if she knew who Jesus would be, and the answer is yes, she knew. The angel literally told her in Luke 1 who her son was. Merry Christmas. Lutheran writer Holly Shear was cited in Christianity Today to have declared the song the most biblically illiterate Christmas tune, saying the biblical account of Christ's conception and birth shouldn't need to ask Mary, what Mary knew, because the Bible plainly tells us she did. Wow. Tough crowd, right? I mean, you're just like, come on, people. Let's lighten up a little bit. Now, I do appreciate the desire to be accurate. I mean, this whole series that we're doing right now is called Christmas. You know, we're separating real truth from fairy tale. We're wanting to get to what Scripture actually says about Jesus and this birth. And I actually do appreciate the effort to say, hey, the Bible tells us some things that Mary knew. She knew. But at the same time, I also appreciate some of the defenders of the song, where they would say, Mary, did you know, is poetry and a way of expressing wonder of the incarnation. Joy Clarkson wrote an article in Christianity Today acknowledging that, yes, there was much that Mary knew, that we know that she knew. But here again, she says, we approach the unleapable hurdle of the incarnation. I'll read what she wrote. She said, Mary knew her child would be the Messiah, as we now know that God became man. But that sort of knowledge does not leave us without questions. As Mary rocked her baby to sleep night after night, did she not wonder what it would all mean? How her child's messiahship would play out in all of its startling particularity? Luke 2:19 says Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Is it fair for us to assume she had plenty of questions among those ponderings? Mary, did you know? It directs its curiosity to these quandaries, not because Mary was ignorant of the facts, but because the incarnation is much more than a doctrine or an event that can simply be accepted and understood. It's a mystery to be encountered. One of the fruitful aspects of art is that it can help us move past intellectual assent toward attentive wonder. This is the attitude into which Mary, did you know, invites us. The question, Mary, did you know, it's not a factual one, but a rhetorical one. It opens space for contemplation, curiosity, wonder. The song invites us to peer over Mary's shoulder as she rocks the Christ child to sleep, to witness the vulnerability of God, to meditate on the vastness of heaven contained in the tiny fingers grasping for the comfort of his mother's hand. I kind of like that. I say thank you, joy, because it does give us some perspective of both the truth of what Mary knew about Jesus, and yet acknowledging that there is curious wonder as to what all that she knew and what this meant and what her understanding really was. I mean, she's a teenager. She's not omniscient. She's not all-knowing. I mean, think about your perspective now compared to when you were 14. It's grown a little, right? I think she probably grew in a lot of her perspective and understanding. And there's questions the song asks that I'm like, you know, I don't know if she knew that. Did you know that he would calm the storm with his hand? With a word. I don't know that she knew he was going to do that. That he would walk on water? I don't think she did. Did she know that the blind would see, the deaf hear, the dead live again, the lame leap, and the dumb would speak? Did she know that? I don't know. Maybe. Isaiah 35, 5 through 6, a prophecy about the Messiah says that the blind will be able to see and the deaf will hear and the lame will leap and dance and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Did she have that prophecy in mind when Jesus was born? Maybe. I don't know. But the question is a legitimate one. I do know that Mary was very in tune with the Old Testament. In fact, we're going to get to that in just a moment. So she did have a knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. But Mary was not omniscient. She was not sinless. There was much she did not know. Mary is not applauded and praised for how much she knew. She's applauded and praised for her humble obedience. That's what she's commended for. And yet, Mary knew a lot. In fact, it's mind-boggling when you think about what Mary knew. And I am so grateful that Mary, along with the gospel writers, have recorded that for us so that we too can know what they knew about Jesus. It's actually quite important that we know. The Apostle John writes in John chapter 20, verse 31, in his gospel, he says, I have written this to you, for you, so that you might know him, so that you might believe in him, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. John wrote it so that you could know it. There were some things that they knew was important for you to know as well. The whole point is that you might know him personally. And so I'm going to invite you right now to open up to Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 in your Bible or your device. If you don't have that, we'll put some scriptures on the screen for you today. But I want you to look at that for this reason, because in our quest to answer the question, what did Mary know? What did she know about Jesus? We will come to know more about Jesus. By answering the question, what did Mary know about Jesus? We will come to know more about Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's knowing about Jesus. The song doesn't say Mary didn't know. It says, Mary, did you know? And I think it'd be great one day in heaven to actually ask her some of those questions, wouldn't it? Do you want to sit down with her? And what did you know? What did you understand at the time? And what did you grow in knowledge of over time? What was that like? I think that'll be awesome to ask that of her someday. But in the meantime, Luke chapter 1 and 2 answers the question, What did Mary know about Jesus? It actually speaks to this. And so let's look at this together. In fact, the very first thing I can tell you that Mary knew what the angel Gabriel said about Jesus. She knew what the angel Gabriel said about Jesus. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, 30 through 38. And here's what we read. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Here's what we know from the angel's words. What we know is that Mary would have known Jesus is Savior. He said, give him the name Jesus. Jesus comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Jesus is a Savior. The angel said that Jesus is great. He's great. In fact, he'll be the greatest of any other person on earth. Jesus, the angel says, is the Son of the Most High. Those words, Most High, according to Mark Moore, is an exalted title for God. It's like saying Jesus is the Son of the very God. That is a big deal, especially in Hebrew literature. In fact, in verse 35, he's called the Son of God, and that title makes him equal to God. In Semitic thought, so in that Hebrew Aramaic thought, a son was a carbon copy of his father. And so the phrase "a son of" means you are that. And so when the Bible says a son of wickedness in Psalm 89, it means that person is wicked. Son of God is saying Jesus is God, like God. That's why when Jesus claimed that God was his father, the religious leaders wanted to kill him because of blasphemy, because he, in their mind, a mere man, claimed to be God. This is the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. He was God. Prophecies about the Messiah written 700 years before Jesus was born told us this is who the Messiah would be. Like this one in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. This says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And this is exactly what the angel was saying to Mary, that his throne, the angel said, Jesus has been given a throne of his father David by the Lord God. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. In fact, 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17, when God came to David and said that his throne would be established forever, that through his line will come the Messiah. Jesus is the king of that royal lineage, and he will reign forever. This is the fulfillment of those prophecies. Mary knows exactly what this angel means because she, as a pious Jew, along with the other Jews, were praying for the Messiah. They were aware of what those scriptures said about the Messiah, as is evidenced here in a few moments. She knew that he is the promised Messiah from Scripture. Jesus reigns over Jacob's descendants forever. That his kingdom will never end. That means he's eternal, immortal. That this miraculous conception and virgin birth was essential because this is deity. This is God coming into flesh as a baby. God, man. It was critical that it had to be a virgin birth because of his deity and preexistence. It was God becoming man. So if the question is, Mary, did you know? If that's our question, I would say Mary knew a lot about Jesus. The babe that was in her womb before he was ever born. Mary actually knew a lot. And yet God was not done revealing to her who Jesus was. Because remember in the angel's greeting when he gives her a sign that is to affirm that his word will come true? He says, for even your relative Elizabeth, who's in her sixth month, who was barren and could not have children, is pregnant with child. Mary rushes off to go see Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, 39 through 41 says that she traveled to the hill country of Judea where she greeted Elizabeth. The Bible doesn't tell us the exact town where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, but church tradition believes that it is Ein Kerem, and that's about halfway between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, but it's to the west. It's in the hill country of Judea. It probably would have taken Mary at least 4 days if she had gone around Samaria to get there, 3 days if she had gone right through Samaria. But she is on her way to go see Elizabeth. And God is going to use this to affirm this young teenage girl who's been given this message and whose world has been turned upside down. And we read in this moment in Luke 1, 41 to 45, it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, some of you ladies who have been pregnant before, maybe you've felt like, I had a baby leap in the womb. Maybe you know a little bit of what that's like. But this was something supernatural that was going on here in this moment. It's like, how would John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's womb, know that this was Jesus other than through the Holy Spirit that was prompting this baby to do this? The Holy Spirit, so the baby leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, in a loud voice exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. The implication here is that, or the idea is that Mary hasn't even told her yet. But by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth knew. And listen to what Elizabeth says. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. I love that. How affirming for Mary to walk in with all of her insecurities and not even knowing how to announce this. And she doesn't even have to because the Holy Spirit's revealing it to Elizabeth. And John the Baptist is leaping in her womb. And Elizabeth is saying, you are carrying my Lord. That means my God is in your womb, in utero. This is what Elizabeth is announcing. And blessed are you who believe the Lord that he will fulfill this promise. And so what we see here is, what did Mary know? Mary knew that her relative Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, what she said about Jesus was true. He is Lord. He is God. And his birth is unique among all births. Elizabeth said in that moment, honored are you of all women on earth. That's what, blessed are you of any woman on earth. Mary is the most honored and blessed because she carried God. She carried the Son of God. Mary knew that. And what does Mary do next? Mary breaks into praise. She breaks into praise. Mary's praise has become known as the Magnificat, which is the Latin word for magnify. It means to glorify, to magnify the Lord. And that's what she does. The text says here in Luke 1, 47 to 50, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. I'm going to skip to verse 54. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Okay, I've given you just a short sampling of the 10 verses that cover her praise, her Magnificat. But here's what we know from this Magnificat. Mary knew what the Old Testament scriptures said about Jesus. I'm not saying she knew every single one of them and all the implications, but it is evident from this praise that came out of her mouth, she knew what the Old Testament scriptures said about Jesus. Mark Moore, in his commentary, The Life of Christ, says that her Magnificat used 30 words or phrases from the Old Testament. So those 10 verses contain 30 words or phrases from the Old Testament that have Old Testament leanings. In fact, the Bible Knowledge Commentary said, her praise consists almost entirely of Old Testament allusions and quotations. If you know your Old Testament, as you're reading it, it's yep, all the way through. We know from this that she called God my Savior, showing an intimate acquaintance with him. She spoke of his faithfulness, power, holiness, mercy. She praised God for the special favor that he was showing on Israel to bring Jesus through those people, through the child that she was to bear. She talked about how God was being merciful to Abraham and his descendants, and Mary was aware that the birth of her child was the fulfillment of the covenant promises to Abraham and to his people. She was aware of these things. In verse 53, she says, he's fed the hungry. He's going to feed the hungry. This is prophetic Old Testament words about what Jesus would do. Now, did she know he was going to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? No, she didn't know that. But you know that people who were in need of him, people who were hungry for him, they would find everything they needed him. He was the bread that they needed. She acknowledges, all generations will call me blessed. She understands that this birth, this child is unique. And her experience is unique. Of all births on the planet Earth, it's extraordinary and separate from the others. Mary apparently knew more than probably a lot of us acknowledge that she knew. She knew more than we probably give her credit for knowing. So in that sense, maybe we should say thank you to people like Ed Stetzer or Relevant Magazine or whoever else that's saying, yes, Mary knew, because they want to emphasize, you know, why are we diminishing what she knew? God revealed much to her. And I'm not even done telling you the things that God revealed to her. So she knew some significant things. In fact, Mary, did you know? Let's go to the next one. Fast forward to Luke chapter 2. Jesus has been born. Shepherds are out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night when an angel announces good news of great joy. In fact, often in the book of Luke, whenever he uses the word joy, it's connected to salvation. Good news of great joy. And this is what he says to us in Luke 2, verse 11 and 15. He says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Salvation, joy. Savior's been born to you. He's Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. These shepherds are told, Jesus is Savior, Messiah, Lord. He's God. So they go to Bethlehem. They find Joseph and Mary, Jesus, just as they were told. And there, when they see them, we read this in verse 17 through 19. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What is she treasuring? What is she pondering in her heart? Not just the things that happened, but the things that were said about Jesus, the things that the shepherds were communicating that the angels had told her about. She was pondering it, meditating. In other words, Mary, what did you know? Mary knew what the shepherds said about Jesus, Savior, Messiah, Lord. And she's pondering it, reflecting on it, meditating on it, trying to put it all into perspective, what this all means and how this is going to play out. She doesn't know how that's all going to play out. There's much more for her to learn. She's in a state of wonder over it all. But she's not done learning. Mary, did you know? Here's something else she knew. It happened whenever she and Joseph took Jesus when he was 40 days old. They took him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord as the law commanded. You know, next Sunday is going to be dedication, child dedication day for us here at Northside. And if you want to do that and you haven't, contact Jessica in our church office about that. She'd love to get you connected. But they were dedicating Jesus at the temple. And there, when that happens on that day, there are two people there waiting, ready, anticipating, praying for the Messiah to come. In fact, one of them was Simeon. And Simeon, who was likely a priest there, had been told by God that he would not die before he saw the Messiah. And God ordained it on that day when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. Simeon was there likely performing duties, and he took that child Jesus into his hands, into his arms. And the text tells us right in that moment in Luke 2, 29 to 33, he said, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother, that's Mary and Joseph, marveled at what was said about him. Mary, did you know? She knows even more now. She knows that he's salvation and light, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Jesus is a savior to the whole world. And they're marveling about this. They're relishing this. Mary knew what Simeon said about Jesus. She knew that. If you want to know what Mary knows, here it is. Salvation, light to the Jews and the Gentiles. At that moment, Anna, who's described as a prophet, comes up. And in Luke 2:36, she's described as very old. Luke actually says in the text she was 84. Some of you are like, hey, that was mean. In her culture, that was really, really old. She had been praying and fasting every day. And when she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God. And she spoke about the child. And she spoke to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem about Jesus. And Mary knew that Jesus came to redeem, to be a redeemer for his people. She knew what Anna, the prophet, said about Jesus. He's a redeemer. Oh, Mary, did you know? What else did Mary know? Well, fast forward 12 years. Every year, the text tells us that Mary and Joseph took Jesus and their family, and they went to Jerusalem for the Passover. They celebrated annually every year. They did this. On this particular year, he's 12. That's a big deal because boys Jesus' age would go through the rites of manhood. Today, they call it bar mitzvah. But that included going for the first time through the court of the Gentiles, through the court of the women, and into the sacred space of the temple proper. Jesus would come into Jerusalem as a boy. He would leave as a man. The Passover involved a seven-day celebration. Most of the important sacrifices were offered the first 3 days. Then after they made those sacrifices, many people would then go ahead and make the journey back home because they had animals to take care of and crop and agriculture, things that they had to do. And so they would go ahead and leave. And typically those last 3 days or so were used typically for discussions, usually among the elite, the religious leaders, where the rabbinic discussions would be held. Though we can't prove this, it appears that Jesus stuck around for the teaching. And while Mary and Joseph, according to the text, go back in their journey back to Galilee, each thinking Jesus was with the other or with the family, they realized a day into the journey, Jesus was not with them. They had to journey back to Jerusalem to look for Jesus. They find him at the temple courts. So 3 days later, they find Jesus. You can imagine how anxious they are. If as a parent, if you've ever lost a kid, and we all have, I know that. I mean, when I was really young, and you hear him over the loudspeaker, usually it was at Walmart or something, and you know, a parent lost a kid, you're like, what kind of parent is that? You know, what losers would do that? And then you become a parent, and you're like, I just lost a kid. I'm that loser. And it happens. They just take off. So we all know what that's like. But imagine 3 days of that. I haven't had that happen. 3 days. And when she finally catches Jesus, Mary said to him, "Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus answered, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" They saw him as their little boy. He saw himself as God's son. They saw him as relating to his earthly parents. He was engaged with his heavenly father. And the text goes on to say that Jesus obeyed his heavenly father by submitting to his earthly parents. And he obeyed them, it says. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be so awesome to have a kid that obeys you. Wouldn't that be amazing? We all become annoyed by the parents who think their kids are perfect because we all know better, right? We all know better. There is no perfect kids except for that one. He was. And you can imagine how that went over with the other parents. It's a good thing Mary was humble. In fact, that's the quality that comes out of the text more than anything else, is her humility. So when other people were bragging about their honor roll students, she didn't say, well, mine created yours. She didn't say that. You know she didn't, because the Bible says she was humble. So here she is, knowing that he's about his father's business. So at the age of 12, Jesus is just as devoted to his father's business as he was at the age of 30 when he started his ministry. Mary knew. What did she know? She knew who Jesus claimed to be. I think John 2 is an indicator that she knew. It happened when she and Jesus and his followers were at a wedding. They were at a wedding feast in Cana when some family, it appears, ran out of wine. It was humiliating, embarrassing. And Mary comes right up to Jesus and she says to him, the wine is gone. His response, Jesus says, woman, why do you involve me? My hour is not yet come. She turns to the servants and says, do whatever he says. How did she know in that moment he could do something about it? John says it was the first miracle that he performed. It's the first one we have recorded. Was there another? I don't know. I mean, there might have been that one time in the bathtub when she's like, get in the water now. Not on it. Get Jesus. There may have been that time. I don't know. Maybe. I saw someone's attempt to, they kind of drew a picture of that, of what that would have looked like, Jesus standing on the water in the bathtub. But I kind of felt like the way it was drawn and stuff, maybe it wouldn't be appropriate for Sunday morning to show everybody, but it was pretty funny. So there may have been that time, but she knew he could do something about it. And he performs a miracle. She knew not only who Jesus claimed to be, Mary knew he was a miracle worker. Now, the bathtub thing probably didn't happen, and here's why. When he performed a miracle, it was so that he could give evidence to who he was. It was never for the miracle itself. It was to show the kingdom of God breaking into this sinful world. It was to show what heaven on earth would look like. It was to reveal who he was. He didn't just have healing services to make everybody better. Because ultimately, that's what heaven is. It was to show who he was and to give credibility and validity. Mary, do you know? When you look at these accounts, what you realize is Mary knew quite a bit. She knew that Jesus is Savior, great, Son of the Most High, Son of God, the promised Messiah, eternal. She knew his kingdom will never end. He's Lord, unique among all births of mankind. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. He's salvation. He's light of the whole world for Jew and Gentile. He's a redeemer. He's a miracle worker. And at the beginning of this message, I said, in our quest to know the answer to the question, what did Mary know about Jesus? We will come to know more about Jesus. It's actually pretty good to ponder that question because you will come to know more about Jesus if you come to understand what Mary knew about Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's about knowing Jesus. That's what this is about. I'll give you a Chrismyth, okay? So the series is called Chrismyth. Here's a Chrismyth. That God has not revealed himself in a specific way to you so that you can personally know him. That's a Chrismyth, and yet that's what a lot of people believe. God hasn't personally revealed himself to you so that you can know him personally. He hasn't specifically done that for you. But Christmas says, yes, he has. Yes, he has. He has come to you. He's revealed himself to you. He has spoken to you. Jesus wants to be known and he wants to be sought. In John 10:14, he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They know me. The whole point of the incarnation, Jesus in the flesh, is to be known. And to know. John recorded in his gospel that he wrote it so that we might believe, so that we might know Jesus. That's why this is recorded for us. You see, God has revealed himself throughout history in the following three ways. Number one, through the world he has created. The Bible tells us that God created everything we see, whether it's people or animals or the creation itself, everything that God has created, it just shouts that there is a creator, a designer. It tells us that God is real. In Romans, it tells us we're without excuse. We should know there is a God just by creation. C.S. Lewis said that creation is God's first missionary. The Psalms say the heavens declare the glory of God. It speaks to him. And so we know that the world he created is the way he's revealed himself to us. Here's another way. The word he has inspired. The word of God is how we know God. We know his character. We know who he is. He's revealed himself to us through his word that he inspired. It's the Holy Spirit's greatest work is this word that we have so we can know him. Third, he has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ, who he sent and exalted. Jesus Christ is the word of God in flesh who made his appearing to us. And the Bible says in these final days, he's spoken to us through his son. Jesus, Christmas, God in the flesh, incarnation, this is God's gift to us so that we can know him. He came in the flesh. It's the mystery of the incarnation. And the mystery of it is that you can know him. You can know him personally. You can know God. You can understand who God is. And yet, because of his vastness and mystery and wonder and bigness, you will never fully understand God in all of his wonder and glory and mystery. But Christmas came so that you would believe, so that you could know him. And I think it's appropriate for us to do what Mary did and just ponder, reflect, think upon these things. That'd be a good thing to do at Christmas, to do what Mary did, to reflect on what you know about Jesus, to reflect on what you've been told about Jesus. That would be an important exercise for us to go through, that you just respond to the knowledge that you already have right now. I mean, that's our biggest problem. We're not obedient with what we already know. But Mary was. Did Mary know everything? Of course not. But with what Mary was given, she humbled herself and became obedient and did whatever God asked of her. What a good model for us to follow. I think maybe one of the most important things we could do today is, instead of singing the song, Mary, did you know? What if we inserted our own name? Wayne, do you know? Do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why Jesus came? Wayne, do you know what Jesus accomplished? Do you know he's the great I am? There's this one phrase in the song, Mary, do you know? It says, Mary, do you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? I don't know the answer to that one. It seemed that the followers of Jesus, the disciples, and maybe Mary herself, were quite confused with the crucifixion. In fact, many of them were saying, no way, just at the sound of Jesus dying or being killed. I don't know that there was a grasp yet fully of what that meant, where Jesus would be heaven's perfect lamb for us, sacrifice for us, the great I am. But these were written and recorded for us so that we might believe, so that we might know him. I'm telling you right now, there are many people in our community right here in the greater Springfield area, they do not know this story. They do not know the Christmas story. My wife was talking to three boys, and in that group of three boys, they were identifying different things. And here recently, one of the things that came up was the manger. It's Christmas season, different items. And one thing was, it was just a feeding trough, a manger. They didn't know what that was. She says, it's a manger. Well, the word was spelled out, manger. And one boy says, no, it says manager. She's like, no, manager is spelled different. That's manger. Do you know what that is? Do you know that story when Jesus was placed in a manger? And the boy said, that wouldn't be safe. Because they're eating. And so you eat the baby. Well, yeah, they weren't eating at that moment. But had never heard, those three boys had never heard this story that we talked about today. Maybe we should also not only take a moment to ponder like Mary did, maybe we should also take a moment to share like the shepherds did. The shepherds who spoke about what they heard and what they saw and who Jesus was. And those who heard it were amazed. Maybe this Christmas, we need to take what we already know and we just need to share it with someone else. We need to take what we already know and be obedient, because the reason is our goal is that we would connect people to Christ and one another. Our goal is that we would make disciples of all nations. It's why this last Tuesday, you were encouraged to watch and support Pioneer Bible Translators as they were doing their fundraiser to try to translate the entire Gospel of John, which was written so that people would believe, into the Tenebra language. And I don't know if I pronounced it right. I took a picture as I was in my office, because I was kind of watching that throughout the day as I was working. In fact, I was working on the sermon some too while I was trying to watch this. And our praise team did a segment for that. And so I got to watch them. I kind of took a picture with my phone from my computer there as it was going on. As of December 6th, we had funded, and people who are participating had funded 96% of the Gospel of John to be translated into that language of that people groups so that they could know Jesus. That's what we're about. We want Jesus to be known. He wants to be known. It's why we give generously in our giving, whether it's on Sunday mornings or through our automatic withdrawals or throughout the week or when we're paid. When we give, we do this because we want to see the gospel advance, which is why right now today, 13% of everything that you give, not only 13% of it goes to both our local and global missions around the world. The rest goes to the ministry through Northside. And so as you give today, it's another way of saying we want people to know Jesus this Christmas. And you can do that by using the text on the screen or the email there, or by giving at the boxes at the exits as you leave. And if you're watching virtually, obviously you can go to our website and give there. And those gifts are going to expand the kingdom. You'll notice that there's also a special offering we're doing during the Christmas season called One Less Gift that goes to our benevolent ministries, which is Christmas meals as we deliver on Christmas Day, and Victory Mission. The significant portions will go to Victory Missions and then to Cross Lines and to our benevolence as well as a church family. And so there's a way for you to give above your tithes to that offering opportunity as well. But everything that we know about Mary shows Mary pointing us to God, to give praise to God. You know, I think it's interesting that everything we know about Mary can be read in a couple minutes. We don't know about her life before Jesus was born. We don't know much about Mary while she brought Jesus up. We don't know when she died or how she died. These are usually things that we know about important people. We don't know those things about Mary. But what we do know amazes us. Her humility, her obedience, her submission to God's plan, her faithful response to who she knew Jesus was. It amazes us to see what she knew about the Savior of the world. And yet she still was filled with wonder and mystery and pondering what God was doing. And today I just want to invite you. I want to invite you today to know Jesus. To put your faith and trust and belief in Jesus. To confess your sins to Jesus. To be baptized into Jesus, so that you can know Him, so you can be connected and united with Him, so you can be clothed with Him, so you can be made new and raised to a new life with Him. He came to redeem you and to save you and to heal you. Do you know Him? Let's stand to our feet And if you'd like to respond today, I'm going to be stepping out to Decision Point. There's some cards in the seats in front of you where you can get that conversation going and drop it in the boxes, or go to our website and you can do that as well. But Lord, right now, I pray that we would know you, pursue you, seek you, love you. I pray that we would in humility obey you and follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Northside. Before you go, make sure you check in and let us know you were here. Text the word CHECK to 417-233-1200. If you want to respond to today's service, you can do that online through Decision Point. If you want to know more about baptism or becoming a member, you can request more info at northsidechristianchurch.net/decision. This is also the place to find out about our life groups, find out what sort of service opportunities there are, or if you just need to get in touch with a minister. And if you're online, you probably use social media too. Make sure you're following along with Northside on our Facebook page, Instagram account, YouTube channel, or Twitter. We are glad that you chose to join us this morning. As we head out for the week, let's make sure we take the love of God with us. Take good care of each other, Northside.